Thank you, God, for the scriptures. Thank you for the way you instruct us and teach us. And we pray, oh God, for your wisdom in my weakness, Lord. Help me to explain this correctly. And pray by the Holy Spirit, you would help us understand what you want us to know about yourself and your ways through your word. Amen. So, it's not an uncommon experience for some of us, or maybe even many of us, to ask the question, how do I know that I'm a Christian? Perhaps we don't feel anything anymore, right? When we first came to faith or had an experience in youth group or a moving kind of time in church, we had goosebumps even, or emotion, but we don't feel that anymore. Am I still a Christian? Or perhaps we're struggling with something and we wonder, does God really love me and care for me in this? 1 John, the book that we've been going through, is really black and white. And he says some things very directly. And it might be an experience that we think, man, am I in? Am I even a believer? Or perhaps, as is likely the case with the original recipients of this book, someone else has shaken our faith, telling us because we don't have faith like them, or because we haven't read this particular book, or because we don't go to this particular church, or because we haven't had this emotional experience, maybe our faith isn't real. How do I know that I'm a Christian? This is where the text this morning takes us. I love what John, one of our other elders, said about this. 1 John is like a really challenging sermon where it's just directly hitting our hearts, challenging us and convicting us and calling us to repentance and change. But here in these verses, it's almost as if John, the Apostle John, takes a quick pastoral break to encourage his readers, to come alongside them and bring comfort. And then he'll go back to just giving it to them strong, reassuring his readers, reassuring us that we are believers and that we can know we are believers by the evidence of an obedient life. Feelings come, feelings go. What does the evidence say? And to comfort our hearts, to encourage our hearts based upon that evidence. This is a verse helpful to understand that historically the church has had some difficulty interpreting. Because of some of the wording, it's uncertain. Even if you read a different English translations, we use what's called the English Standard Version, but there are other really good English translations. But the word that they use in this particular passage might be different, which has caused a lot of discussion and even some disagreement in the church community. What is being meant here? So what we're going to do is slow down, take our time, and try to discern. Not try, we will discern its meaning by God's grace. So the verses will be up here behind me as well. We're doing 1 John chapter 3, 19 to 24. By this, let's stop there. What's the this? The this is likely what just came before. So if you were here last week, you saw what came before. With Jesus as our example, we are to love one another. And not just talk about it, but do it. So it's not just something we do in theory. It's not just something we theoretically say, we're going to do this, but something we actually practice. By this, by that reality, loving each other with Jesus as our example, we shall know that we are of the truth. We shall know. We're going to see it a lot in 1 John, particularly in chapter 5. It's going to be there a lot. Because false teachers have upset the faith of some, causing them to question whether they're truly, really believers. And John says, no, you can know. The Christian faith that is kind of defines itself by a question mark is not how we are to live. We can know. And he says, we can know that we are of the truth by this, by the fact of loving one another like Jesus loves one another, and reassure our heart before him. In other words, we can know by the evidence of us loving one another, that we are Christians. Am I a believer? Has Jesus really saved me? Do I love the church? Then I can know that I am. And note the words, reassure our hearts. We can preach to ourselves that since there is evidence of real faith, we are therefore people of real faith. When in doubt, when in questioning, when the emotion has gone, when our mind is playing tricks on us, we can remind ourselves that we are indeed Christians by the evidence of an obedient life. And then this verse, which is incredible news. 4, verse 20, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Heck yeah. God is greater than our heart. Is that not some of the best news that you have ever heard? Particularly those of us who have overly sensitive consciences and tend to beat ourselves up a lot. God is greater than our hearts. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater because he knows everything. Our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions can be good and can be right. But they can also be dead wrong. They can also lead us astray into all sorts of wrong choices and bad conclusions. Our thoughts, feelings, emotions and experiences are not God. He is God. And he stands above our feelings and above our emotions and above our personal assessments of ourselves. While we can view ourselves and it's biased or fickle or complicated or layered, his assessment of us is 100% accurate all the time. He sees all things. He knows all things. So even when our hearts are saying, you're not a Christian, you're no good, God says, no. I see all things. I know all things. You belong to me regardless of how you feel at any particular time. And here is how you can know: by the evidence of obedience. I love John Stott, the well-beloved late pastor of a church in central London. It is the mind's knowledge by which the heart's doubts may be silenced. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. See the contrast? One person, their heart, their emotions, their feeling is condemning us. And because of the condemnation that person feels, they begin to question, am I truly a believer in Jesus? Has all of this been just a figment of my imagination, or is it real? And then we comfort and we reassure ourselves by the evidence of obedience. We look back at our life and see, yes, God has changed us. And I know He's changed us because look what He's done in my life as on display in the way He's changed me. If our heart does not condemn us, which is our goal, reassure our hearts by the evidence of obedience, we can find confidence and rest and trust in that. So I come before prayer, in prayer to God, and say, I'm not worthy of this. I don't belong, I shouldn't be praying. Maybe my faith isn't even true. Stop it. Look at the evidence of obedient life. The gospel is real. If the gospel wasn't real, do you know where I'd be? The gospel's real, and I see it, reassuring my heart and then finding confidence and rest in God Himself. Verse 22, the thought continues, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Now we have to be careful here. Some can say this sounds like works-based religion. If I do this, then God is obligated to answer my prayer. But that's not the context in which we are talking about. It's about evidence and assurance. Here is the evidence of what it means to be a real Christian. It's right there. Keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. These things are present and active in my life. Therefore, I am a real Christian. And therefore, as a son or daughter of God, I can come to God with humble confidence, expecting that my prayers will be answered because I belong to Him. And I know I belong to Him by the evidence of an obedient life. Now, chapter 5, verse 14 does give a qualifier. The prayers that we ask are going to be answered, quote, according to His will. So it doesn't mean, Lord, look at this evidence of obedience life. When I walk out of this door, I want to see just a sweet gangster car in the spot where my car is right now, because that's what I want to drive home. Something that, an old Monte Carlo with hydraulics on it. Lord, that's what I want to see. That's not really how it works, right? According to His will. Chapter 5, verse 14. You get a little bit into my world and the things that are in my heart. Sorry. And what are those commandments that I am to obey? What are those commandments that are the evidence of a real Christian? Verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. It's the greatest commandment. Jesus said, love God, love each other. Follow the train of thought. I know I'm a believer by the evidence of an obedient life. I can reassure my heart when my feelings and doubts and concerns say, you're not a Christian. I can say, yes, I am, by the obedience of the evidence of obedience. Obedience to what? Here it is. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. According to the Bible, to believe in Jesus means we turn from sin, we reject everything that God calls as sin, and we submit our life to Jesus. Have you done that? And secondly, we love the people in this room. Not just in theory, but in practice and action. When in doubt, when my heart condemns me, do I believe in Jesus? Do I love and serve other Christians? If that is the evidence of my life, regardless of what my heart condemns me, I know I belong to Him. And I can expect answers to prayer, and I can expect to stand in confidence before Him. Verse 24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. This is not a cold, stale, dry, dead religion relationship, but a mutual indwelling. You are with Him, and He is with you. And by this, the end of verse 24, we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given. There it is again. By this we know. By the evidence of an obedient life, we know we belong to God. And it's confirmed to us by God the Holy Spirit, which is given to each and every Christian. DJ and I were just studying this morning, that the Holy Spirit gives us the experience of what has already happened in Christ. Giving us the experience of the reality that we belong to Jesus. So what's the application? How do we live this out and obey it? If in doubt, reassure your heart. Years ago, it's an experience I've mentioned a few times because it was so instructive to me. I was at a youth camp in the Eugene area. And during the service, and it was a church community that really pushed experiential feeling as evidence that God is working in your life. And a young woman came up to me in tears because other people were having experiences, emotional experiences, which are certainly not bad, many times good, but she wasn't. And she felt like something was wrong with her. By all accounts, and by the way she talked, I could tell this young woman loved the Lord, but was so convinced that something was wrong with her because she didn't have the feelings or the emotions of those she witnessed in the room. Had I been a more mature believer and known my Bible better, I would have opened 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 24, and I would have shown her, my sister, when in doubt, reassure your heart. My sister, God is greater than our hearts, and He's greater than our feelings. My sister, is the evidence of a changed life present with you? My sister, do you believe in Jesus as it's described in the Bible? Have you turned away from sin and turned to Him? Do you love God's people and do what you can do to support, honor, and protect them? And if she would have responded yes, then I would have said, the mature, biblically literate CJ would have said, then you are with God, and God is with you. And do you know what, my sister? God, the Holy Spirit, will confirm that to you and give you experience to show you that that is true. We think that's what the text means, and we submit it to you. We'll finish with this. But what if the evidence is not there? What if you look back at your life and say, I don't think I do believe in Jesus. I don't think I have turned from sin. I don't think I do love God's people, Christian community, the Church of Jesus Christ. Then we submit to you, according to the Bible, you're not a Christian. you're not a believer in Jesus, Christianity doesn't mean you attend a church service. Christianity doesn't mean you say a prayer once and ask God to come into your heart and then that's it. Christianity doesn't mean your parents were Christian, therefore I'm Christian. Christianity doesn't mean when the census comes, they don't ask that on the census anymore, somebody asks you, what religious box do you check, that you check Christian and therefore you're Christian. That is religion, but that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, God loves you. God paid the penalty for your sin and put it upon his son, Jesus Christ. That same Jesus rose from the dead, confirming that he was indeed God in a body. That God in a body, Jesus Christ, now commands everywhere, people everywhere to repent, turn from their sin and turn to him. And so we invite you, friend, if you are not a believer in Jesus, to turn from your sin, which is destroying you, and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would love to pray with you or talk with you more about that if you would like to. Stan and Ann would love to do that, as would many of us. We invite you to repent. Amen? How about those kids shouting downstairs? Doesn't that work well? Lord, we stand under the word, under the sacred text of Scripture, seeking to obey it. Pray, Holy God, that you would convince our hearts and reassure us by the evidence of an obedient life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to go into our time of giving and communion now. Talking a little bit about giving. If you guys are new here, you haven't been with us for very long, you may know or you may not know that we don't preach the tithe here, that you need to give 10% in order to be a part of the church or being part of things. It's something that